Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening to each and every one. Trust that you had a glorious and a victorious week. This is Apostle Willie Ann Miller. So glad that you have tuned in today. We just thank and praise the Lord for this day because truly I believe this is the day that the Lord has made and we can rejoice and be glad in it. I thank and praise the Lord for Jesus who is my Savior and my Lord. I thank and praise the Lord for the day that Jesus came, the day that he gave up his life, that we may have a right to the tree of life. I thank Jesus for reconciling my relationship with my Heavenly Father, who is God. And I just thank and praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit that was sent. Jesus said that I would not leave you comfortless, but I would send you a helper, a teacher, a standby. And I just thank and praise the Lord for the Trinity today. I thank God for this is another day that I can really, if I got it wrong, I can make it right. And that's the thing that I praise and thank the Lord for, that God is still being merciful. You know, we've been doing a series of teaching on about the fear of the Lord. And I was having this conversation some maybe 3 months ago, maybe less or more. But I was talking to this apostle, and they was, you know, saying that a lot of people don't fear God anymore. And when I began to talk to the Lord about it, the Lord reminded me. He said, y'all don't teach on the fear of God, you know. And as he took me, my foundation scripture is coming from Deuteronomy 6th chapter, and the Lord began to show me up under the old covenant. It was demonstrated, and God revealed himself through, he showed the people his wrath when it came down to disobedience, when it came down to sin. In the new covenant, we see the love of God, you know, but we need to see God from all sides. And we see God don't want us to walk around and walk in fear of him. And we even gave a definition what it means to fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. It's important that we know what his commandment means for us as believers. Only as we truly fear the Lord will we be delivered from slave to all abnormal fear. And there too, again, the fear of the Lord is to regard him with holy awe and reverence and to honor God as God because of his great glorious holiness, his majesty, and his power. There too again, God revealed himself to even when it was time for God to speak, when God was speaking through Moses to the children of Israel. If you go back to Exodus 19 to 16, that how they begged Moses not the Lord, let the Lord speak to them, just whatever God said through Moses. But God was revealing himself to the people in a way that they would have a holy fear of him. And as I stated so many times, we live in a time now, people just feel like, you know, I can do anything and I ain't worrying about this and I ain't worrying about that and God don't care and all of that. That's someone that haven't developed a relationship with God. I don't have no idea who God is and what God would do or what God can do. And it's just like a parent and a child relationship. When you raising your children, when that child do something wrong, what you do, you discipline that child. Well, I mean, you use the rod of correction. No, you're not supposed to abuse them, beat them, but you put the reverence, this is fear of them, and you put that in their heart so that child will know that you mean business. And I believe when it come down to God, we just feel like, well, you know, people can do anything. But there too, again, as I stated, when it come down to fear of the Lord, fearing God is a recognition of his holiness, his justice, and his righteousness as a counterpart to his love and mercy, knowing him and understanding fully who he is. Fear is based on our acknowledgement that God is a holy God who very nature calls him to judge sin. Right now I'm just reading some of my notes, because to me, it really been an eye open to me when it come down to the fear of God. It, like I said, it really been an eye opening. And in Exodus, the 40th chapter through the 35th verse, is that when we preach the love of God, well, that's what I draw from this. When we preach the love of God, there's a danger of forgetting that the Bible revealed not first the love of God. Now, like I said, when you go read the Old Testament, first God did not reveal the love of God, but in the Old Testament, first he revealed his intention, his blazing holiness of God with his love. Now, love was at the center, but God revealed to the people the danger and the consequences of disobeying and rebelling against him. That's why up under the old covenant, if a child walked in disobedience, that child was stoned. If a couple were found in adultery, they were stoned. I mean, they would pick up stones and they would stone you to death. But at that time, God was revealing to the people what he felt about sin, the consequences of it. But there too, again, we done got modern now. And like I said, a lot of people look at, well, you know, God loved me and God understand. Listen, God made a way through Jesus coming, death, burial, and resurrection that we do not have to have a lifestyle of sin. But we can be delivered from the sin nature, and God give us his nature that we can please him. And so we're going to be going a little further with that. But like I said, when you go back and read the scripture about what it means to fear the Lord and everything, it really makes a difference. And you know, it really makes a difference because of some of the scripture we used last week. Monday was Luke the 12th chapter, 4th and 5th verse, and Jesus was saying, because he know by the disciples living for him and follows for him, that somehow someone was going to die, that they were going to be, they were going to have to face death due to their following Jesus. And Jesus made a bold statement. He told them that they don't need to fear the one that can kill the body, but they need to fear the one that's able to kill the body, and after the body is killed, that it could be cast into hell. So there too, again, as I say, his many scriptures support the fear of God. And like I said, just want to let you know, when I was growing up, I had a reverential fear for my parents, because I know if I disobeyed them, I know they were going to use the word of correction on me. So I had a fear, you know. Now, the Bible tells us to fear man, and I ain't going to talk about that today, but we're going to talk about, the Bible said to fear man is a snare, you know. And I'm quoting John Flavor, and he said this. He said the Connor person fears man, not God. The strong Christian fears God, not man. The weak Christian fear man too much and God too little. So there too, again, we just want to address this, because what brought this in teaching about, when God gave me John 10:10, when he said the thief come but to steal, but Jesus came that we would have life. He come out eternal life and have it more abundantly. Well, God wants us to experience the abundant life on this earth, even though we have an enemy, we have an adversary who is Satan, but God have given us, as born-again believers, we have authority over the enemy. Jesus came that he would destroy the works of the devil. Well, he did that, and he gave us the authority, but we will not be able to use our authority effectively if we not walking in the fear of the Lord. Well, the Bible said the love of God restrain us, but we're going to go to Psalms, the 5th chapter. So let me pray, but I just want to open up and bring you up to par where we at today. Again, I thank and praise the Lord for the host, Apostle Armstrong. He was with us on last Thursday. I always thank and praise the Lord for Apostle Armstrong. He a very humble man. I thank and praise the Lord for him, and God have blessed him with this broadcast. And I thank God for allowing me to have a part in it. So let us continue to lift up Apostle Armstrong. My prayer for him this year, that God would stretch out in him, that God would increase his wisdom, God would increase his discernment, and God would bring people that he want on this broadcast so that the people's life can be affected, be transformed. My goal is not to just come on this air to say, you know, I play a part in Apostle Armstrong broadcast. No, I desire to see people's lives be transformed through this word, that people be delivered through the word or the message that God give us. Because that's what is the good news of Jesus Christ is to say that we don't have to live into sin. We don't have to live in bondage to sin no more. The bondage of fear, the bondage of lack and poverty, the bondage of stress, depression and all of that. That's the good news, that we don't have to let the enemy, our flesh, dominate us anymore. That's the good news of the gospel. So my desire is that the message, the teaching that God gave me to share with you all on this broadcast, that you don't just say, oh, it was a good word, but that you apply these scriptures and these message and see your life transform. I truly believe we're in the last of the last days. And while the enemy is doing what he's doing, the greater one want to rise up and manifest itself through you and I as born-again believers, to let the devil know you is defeated and we fear God. That's what we really fear. And I find out when we fear God, it'll quench or diminish all of other fear. Okay? We're gonna quickly go to Proverbs 5 and 4. Father, in Jesus' name, again, I thank you for your word that you're about to give to us. I thank you, Father. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we're expecting you to bring enlightenment, conviction, bring understanding to the word that you done placed in my heart. Holy Spirit, we want to see God. Open up our eyes. We want to see Jesus. We want the fear of the Lord to return. Where it been, people done lost the fear of God through this teaching that you have given us. I pray for the spirit of the fear of the Lord, that it will be restored in the believer's life, that we won't take sin lightly, we won't take rebellion and harden our heart against your word. Father, I thank you for those that have tuned in to the broadcast, that you're going to bring enlightenment and understanding. I thank you for the Holy Spirit being released over the airways to convict and to transform. Father, I thank you for it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let it be accepted in my sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, as I stated, let's go to Psalms. We stopped at Psalms, the fifth chapter. So we're going to go back there because I got some new scripture I want to share with you. Psalms 5 and 4. Let's go to Psalms, the fifth chapter and the fourth and seventh verse. Hallelujah. Thank you. I'm going to be reading from the King James. You that know me, I read from the Living. I read from the New King James Version because I find out, you know, just studying different translations, give me more enlightenment and understanding about the word. And Psalms, the fifth chapter, let's look at verse 4 through 7. And it read as following. It said, For thou art not a God that have pleasure in weakness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight, thou hatest thy work of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak least in the Lord of all, the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear, listen, and in thy fear will I worship towards the holy temple. And there too again, we need to realize God hates sin. And that's why I said in the beginning, God revealed to the children of Israel what how he felt about sin. And he didn't tolerate with sin. But a lot of people look at it like because we're in grace now that God tolerate with sin. God still hates sin. God still calling for his people to be holy. Holiness is another word for separation. Jesus said it like this in St. John the 17th chapter, for us to be sanctified through the word. When you be sanctified through the word of God, it'll separate you from sin. It'll separate you from even really just walking and being around sinners all the time. Now, God wants us to love. We love all people because God loves people through us. But God don't want us to be conformed or take on their lifestyle. That's why the Bible said in Corinthians, he said, be unequal yoked together with unbelievers. He don't want us to take on their lifestyle because a sinner's lifestyle is to go against God. They rebel. They mock God. They're always mumbling about what God requires for us to do. So a person walking in holiness, we live a separated life. We separated from the world. We don't act like the world. We don't talk like the world. We don't respond to evil like the world responds. It's a different lifestyle. Psalms 85 and 9. We're going to Psalms 85. And 9, 85 and 9. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pandili Boshata. 85 and 9. It's assuredly, well, let me read the 8th verse. It's I will hear what God the Lord would speak, for he would speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Y'all, listen, God forbid us. See, the Bible said only a fool said in his heart ain't no God. That's what weakness, that's what the wicked say. People that's living a sinner life, they tell you that it ain't no God. We living in that in the time now that they call it good, evil, and evil, good. That's the time we living in. It's like people don't have it's not a fear of God. You know, oh, I ain't worried about it. I know because when everybody die, I'm going to hell anyhow. And I, no. See, that don't agree with the scriptures. You need to find that out, okay? But he was saying that I want you to hear what God the Lord would speak, for he would speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. He said, now God will speak to the saint, but don't let them or don't let us turn to folly. Don't, other words, he's saying, don't backslide. Don't go back to your foolish ways. Proverbs 14 and 27. Like I said, I'm in the King James Version tonight, Proverbs 14 and 27. Okay, I'm going to start at the 26th verse. It said, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The scripture said, God is suppressing help in the time of trouble. But listen, if you walk around here and you don't have no fear for the Lord, based upon what God's word said, you know how to do his work. Well, guess what? You're on your own. You're out there on the limb by yourself. In Titus, the first chapter, it tells us that God don't lie. And this is something we need to realize. Whatever God said in his word, that's what God will do. The Bible says that God been faithful to 1,000 generations. The Bible tells us that God watched over his word to perform it. If God said it, saints, God meant it. And I learned how to have the revelation fear to my parents, because when we would do wrong, mama would either use the rod of correction or my daddy used it. Well, you know, my testimony, my daddy was abusive, but thanks be to God, daddy did what he thought was right. And anyway, I forgave my dad and my daddy with the Lord now. But there too, again, they use the rod of correction. That's for them. That's bringing fear, revelation fear, that they need to honor you. And just like a child, you know, you don't have to teach a child how to do wrong. They were born with a sin nature. Their nature is to rebel against their parents. And that's why from time to time a parent have to pop that child hand. You know, not hurt it, but you got to pop them to let her know, no. You know, there too again. But he tells us right here, in the fear of the Lord, in Proverbs 14, in the 26th and the 27th verse, it's in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a foundation of life to depart from the snares of death. See, having the fear of God will separate you. It will keep you. Amen. Okay, look at the 16th, Proverbs 16 and 6. Let's look at another scripture. It tells us everyone in that fifth, I'm going to read the fifth and the sixth verse. It said, everyone that is proud in heart is abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, man departs from evil. So there too again, when we walk in the reverence and fear of the Lord, we'll depart from evil. It'll restrain us just like love restrained us. Okay, today I want to talk about this. I'm coming in today. We said the holy fear of God, it keeps us alert to kingdom responsibility as well as any adverse motives of behavior damage the lives of those that love God. Now I want us to go to 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. This is my new scripture today. We still come out the revelation fear of God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. And I tell you, this has really renewed me when it comes down to the revelation fear of God. Because I'm telling you, we got a lot of people. I remember I was at one of my, I ministered at this funeral. Well, you know, you don't have to minister to the dead. They can't, that you know, you can't do nothing. They can't do anything else on this side. You, but God have you to minister to those living. And God gave me this message. He said, a lot of people talk about dying and going to heaven, but they don't talk about the judgment. Y'all, as a born-again believer, you're going to stand before the judge. Jesus going to judge just based upon his finished work. So don't be deceived. Don't think you can walk around here as a born-again believer, walking in unforgiveness and mistreating people, and I can live like I want to. I can lay up on Saturday night and curse through the week and mistreat people, and on Sunday I go into church and I shout and dance and honey, and then I'm all right. No. No. And this is another area that it increase your fear. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, I want you to see this here. And Paul was talking about ministry. He in this whole fifth chapter, he's talking about ministry, why he do what he do, why he lived the way he lived. But in that 10th verse, look what he said. He said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he have done, whether it be good or bad. Now, that right now ought to send fear, shock, and wave through your body. That's why, you know, honey, I ain't got to do this, and I ain't got to listen. No, you ain't got to forgive if you don't want to. No, you ain't got to live right if you don't want to. But listen, if you're going to give, you're going to stand before the judge. You're going to give an account. See, that's why I'm not going to give an account the way my enemy treated me. But I'm going to give an account the way I respond. I ain't got to give an account the way when people persecute me and say all kind of matter things about me. But how do I respond? Do I overcome evil with good? Come on, somebody. See, these sometimes, like I said, when I wrote this down, holy fear keep us alert to kingdom responsibility. Because like I said, we gonna stand before God. God judges our motives. God look at why I do and why I say what I say. This is more than what meet the eye. And that's the part the enemy of your soul will try to keep you blind to that. You know, You know, it had been time, one of my mentors, the late Apostle Joseph Thompson, taught me this. He said, the you in you that you don't know nothing about. Your heart will let you know when you're lying. You ever been in the presence of somebody, and I done did it, and I said, you know, I'm going to be honest, because I don't like to hurt nobody's feelings. If I know somebody cooked something for me, and they really, God is still helping me with it. Sometimes I just look and won't say nothing. But, you know, you're telling people, because some people wear their emotion on their sleeve. Now, I try to be, you know, consider other people, you know, feeling. But you have to just tell people the truth, and that's, God, just help me, you know. You know, if I know somebody that did their best they can with something, you know, I ask God to give me the right words to say to them, because some people, you know, they won't do it no more, you know. But there, too, again, we need to realize you can come into church and act like you, you know, I'm into this thing with God. I'm praising Lord. I'm doing this thing. But then when it comes down to your action, listen, we don't have no excuse, but I want you to see we're going to stand before the judge. All Christians would be subject to judgment. There would be no exemption. The judgment will occur when Christ returns for his church. I'm reading some notes. The Bible speaks of believer judgment as something solemn and serious, expecting that sin and includes the possibility of damage or loss. And see, there too, again, like I said, don't let the enemy or nobody tell you that you can just live anyway and you go to heaven, it's fine. I used to hear the people saying, if I just hold out to the end. You know, some people, they get, oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be laying around the river, drawing, eating grapes and all that. You're going to be judged first, my brother and my sister. We're going to have to stand before the judgment. And just some, all of us need to come to grips with it. Amen. Good word, prophetess. Our assignment. Okay, then too, we're going to stand before the judge because of our assignment. Let's go to Ephesians 2 and 10. Now, there too again, well, I tell you what, let me deal with this that standing before the judgment a little bit more. Secondly, in 1 Corinthians 3:15, it tells you about how some go have some laws. Well, I tell you what, let's go to 1 Corinthians. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, the 13th verse. Let's look at that. 3 and 13. Look what it says. 1 Corinthians 3 and 13. Okay. Now in that 10th verse, it's according, and I'm in 1 Corinthians 3 and 10. It's according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation and another build down. But let every man take heed, or the word, be careful, how he build thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stone, every man's work shall be made manifest. See, that's why Jesus said, what you do in the dark, it going to come to the light. And when the reality of this come alive to you, well, look, you know, you got some people that one way in the church and one way at home. Listen, God see. God see me. David said, he know my thoughts. And see, it's when that come to you and the reality is like, hey, I better not do this. Now, some people say, well, Prophet Miller, if I'm walking around thinking about it, I ain't going to be able to enjoy life. You're going to be able to enjoy life even better. I don't know about you. It brings peace to me when I know I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. It's just like a child. A child don't parent going to do something bad to when they know they're doing right by their parent. When I'm walking in obedience, I don't have nothing to fear. But when you walk around and you hide stuff, that's when a lot of people operate in fear. But my point is, I'm talking about that when you stand before God, your work's going to be judged. Are you fulfilling your assignment? Each one of us. You don't have to be an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, a teacher. Do you not know a father have assignment to be a good parent, to his children, a good father to his children. Mother, you have assignment as well. You're going to give an account the ways you raised them children. That's why the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he shall go, not want to go, that when it's old, it won't depart. Raise that child up in the admonition of the Lord. The Bible talks about all of that. We're supposed to train them up, raise them up the way God wants us to raise. We got away from that because some people weren't taught that. They didn't even know that. I was talking to one of my grandsons in college today, and he was telling me, well, Grandmama, I'm still trying to figure out what I want to be in life. I said, why is you wasting your time trying to figure out life? I said, do you not know, according to the scriptures, before the foundation of the world, God already done playing your life out? I said, what you need to do is ask him, since you're born again, believe, Father, I'm asking you to reveal to me what is your purpose for my life. God, I have this in on my mind, but God, I want to walk in my God-given purpose plan for me. God, unfold it to me. Reveal it to me. Who know you better than your creator? But the way some people are putting it, you got to figure this out. I don't know about y'all. When I start trying to figure things out, I get overwhelmed. When I start trying to figure that, I get stressed out. But if I just let the Holy Spirit lead me, if I just, okay, God, I'm going to cast this care on you. I'm going to trust you with it. I'm still learning how to not only believe what the word say, but trust the word of God. Stand on the word of God. But then let me go and read this and look at the 13th verse. It said, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man work of what sort it is. See, like I said, there too again, we don't want to talk about that. We don't need to talk about that. And when it's talking about the what we do, it's gonna be tested, y'all. The Bible, I'm gonna read some notes. The Bible asserts that all the redeemed are free from God's judgment or condemnation. Yeah, we free from sin. Please hear me. I'm not done. Yeah, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to heaven. Hear me good. But you is not exempted from the judgment. And this is what a lot of people, they hung up on. Well, I'm going to heaven. Do you not know, my brother, my sister, I just read it. You're going to give an account the way you live your life on this earth based upon what is written in the Bible. The Bible is our manual. The Bible asserted that all the redeemed are free from God's judgment or condemnation. However, there is a future judgment for believers as to the degree of their faithfulness to God and the grace given unto them during their life on earth. I just read 2 Corinthians 5:10. And that judgment, there is a possibility that a believer, although receives salvation, but may experience great loss. Suffer loss of them. That means lose your reward when you get to heaven. I don't want to lose my reward. My prayer every day, God help Prophet Ishmael to fulfill the assignment. I tell Hosea, I just need help. Come on, somebody. This is so important. These are things we don't want to think about. I don't want to think about it. When I'm dead, I'm just going to be dead. You a fool to think that, but saints shouldn't think like that, but I know Santa does. It said a careless believer is in danger of suffering loss or damage in the following way, of feeling ashamed at Christ's coming, loss of his life work for God, loss of glory and honor before God, loss of opportunity for service and authority in heaven. Do you not know it's going to be certain ranks in heaven, certain things God's going to have you to be over, but that's going to be based upon how and what you did while you was on this earth? That's what that I'm talking about. The fear, one part of fear of the Lord because of the judgment. Like I said, a lot of people don't want to talk about the judgment. I'm talking about it. Okay? But you need to know this here. I'm gonna say it one more time. The Bible let us know that all the redeemed are free from God's judgment or condemnation. That means you ain't got to worry about going to hell if you don't accept Jesus. But you is not exempted from the judgment seat. You got to stand before the judge, and you gonna give an account. Listen, don't let nobody tell you you're not. You're going to give an account. So when you know this, it's just like a lot of people getting ready to file their tax right now. Some probably already, but a lot of times they hold on to important things that they know that they got to file. When they got to take the for the tax bill, they got to take it so when they get the tax bill out, they're conscious of that. Well, listen, you need to get conscious of whenever I die, yeah, I might have made it into heaven, but how I'm going to do when I stand before God, the Bible says every idle word I'm going to give an account of. Come on, somebody. See, this would let me, okay, and watch it, girl, watch it, girl, watch it. Our assignment. Now, I want to go to Ephesians. I'm going to go to Ephesians 2 and 10. Ephesians 2 and 10. I'm going to tell you, when you look at it from this perspective, you ain't going to go right here. I was talking to this minister early, and y'all, you know, we got to realize, and I told him, you're going to give an account. And y'all, the enemy, he want us to sit around and meditate on and replay what somebody said, how somebody treated. For you, listen, ask the Lord to help you. Now, listen, you have to forgive by faith. Because a lot of times, what they done did to you, you feel like, well, you know, don't nobody know what they did. I agree with you 100%. But do you not know? I know a man that came and died for somebody else's sin. Not on just for everybody's sin, and his name is Jesus. Jesus died for all our sin. And before he died, he took a beating. They beated him till the Bible said he didn't even look like a real man. He didn't look like himself no more. They took the thorns and just pressed him. Ooh, Jesus, just to think about that. But he did it for you and I. And see, that's what we're going to be judged by. Jesus came on this earth, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and what's the example how we as born-again believers supposed to live on this earth? But how many people want to make excuses? I don't want to hear excuses. Y'all, we without excuses. Stop letting the devil and other people, oh, God understand why you don't want to forgive. God understand why you don't want to go to church. God understand why you mad at the apostle. God understand why you don't want to be around the church. Y'all, you better stop. That's a lie. Do you not know that's the midst of the devil lying to you? God said forgive. We can forgive if we want to. We without excuse. Well, that's why I say I'm here. Ephesians 2.10. Let's look at Ephesians 2.10. Paul said, well, said Abraham, he said, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Thank you, Father. Not of works, lest any man shall boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before our day that we shall walk in them with his workmanship. Do you see that? Let me see what, now I wrote some notes on that. His workmanship, creating Christ Jesus for good work, which God hath prepared beforehand that we shall walk in them. There too again, what I'm saying, we have an assignment. There's certain things that God wants us as born-again believers to achieve while we on this earth. He wants us to walk in love. Now, love don't mean you let somebody walk on you or treat you like a dog. No, 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 no. But love means you don't go around and scatter lies, take names. You overcome evil with good. If you can help us, ask it. Now, see, that's why it's so important. We have to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you and I in what we need to do, when we need to do it. Come on, somebody. That's why we have to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Holy Spirit, make it plain to me. But we need to get acquainted with God through his words. Are you hearing me? Now, I'm going back to, like I said, we're going to give an account. We're going to give an account. The believer will have to give an account of the degree of his faithfulness or his unfaithfulness to God. This in Matthew 25. We're going to go there. Matthew 25 and 21. I want you to see this, because this will bring the fear of God on you. Wait a minute. I got to give an account. Yep. Yes. You got to give an account. Matthew 25 and 21. Okay, he was talking about the man with the talent. His Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. See, that was just a good. Thou have been faithful with few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now, this what Jesus talking about. He talking about the judgment. Once you stand before the judgment of God, you're going to give an account. What did you do with your assignment? What did you do with that gift or that talent that God gave you? I ain't just talking about the apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor, and teacher. Every born-again believer, like I said, parents don't realize, husbands don't realize, you have assignment, and your first assignment, you got to be a good husband to your wife. A wife, you got to be a good wife to your husband. People take all that lightly. I mean, you got born-again believers. The Bible tells a husband to honor his wife. That's what we could say. That don't mean for you to control them, to dominate them, to boss them around. Well, I'm the head of the house. Wife, you ain't got nothing to say. Whatever I say, it go. No, your marriage ought to be based upon the laws and principles of God. What God say about what you're doing. What God say about the way you treat your wife, or how you treat your husband, or how you treat your children. Do you take them in consideration? Or you put everybody before them? When you in the presence of everybody, oh, I'm the best husband, and I do this, and I do. I'm the best wife. But then when you get out the presence of other people, you don't take them in consideration. I watched some males. One day I was coming out of a Dollar General. I won't forget. And I watched this young man. He came, because I seen he had a wedband. I pray that was his wife. But he made sure he walked on her side, opened the door, and then closed the door. I said, now that's what I'm talking about right there. I tried to teach my son, you know, how to be a gentleman. Because that's what God requires. You got some saved men. They don't know how to honor their wife. You got some saved men. They don't know how to honor their husband. They don't think what they say. These are some of the things you're going to give an account of. You're going to stand before God for this. Take this in consideration. And this is what he meant when he was saying in Matthew 25. And then in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. The time, I'm coming in. But these are things we need to take serious, because we're going to give an account. 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 2 and 3. It's moreover, 1 Corinthians 4, 2 through 5. It's moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is very small thing that I should be judge of you, a man judgment, yet I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judge me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before his time until the Lord come, who both. Listen, he's talking about the Lord. There too again. That's what we're talking about. This will cause you to give more reverence and fear to the Lord. Wait a minute. Now, God done made apostles through Jesus for me to get to heaven. But wait a minute. When I stand before the judge, I'm going to be ashamed. Yeah, I don't want to be ashamed. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. And this right here penetrate my heart to let me know. That's why as a born-again believer, we have a lifestyle we're supposed to live. We're supposed to let our light shine. We living in a time now the enemy have went to try to put our light out. He don't want us to contend for the faith. He don't want us to stand. You got a lot of saints, they're afraid to stand up for righteousness. As I read earlier, a carnal-minded Christian and carnal people, they fear man, not God. The strong Christian fear God and not man. The weak Christian fear man too much and God too little. Come on, somebody. The fear, and this I'm quoting some of these famous Christians before my time. The fear of death and judgment goes out of us as the true fear of God come in. and that fear have no torment, but is rather a light and easy yoke for the soul, one which rests upon it instead of exhaustion. And there too, again, don't let the enemy make you, oh, you fear God. When you fear God, you can't do, no. It happened, you know, I used to go to school where you fear, your dad and mom won't let you do this, and they won't let you go. No, they were trying to protect me. Parents supposed to, but one of their assignments is to protect their child. If they know something ain't good for their child, they supposed to stand against that and tell their child no. We're living in a time now that some parents try to be their children friends or their buddies. No. Listen, my assignment is to train you up in the way you should go, not the way you want to go. I had my daughter come and she said, Mom, I need to apologize to you. I used to thought you were so mean. But now that I'm grown and I have my own children, I see and truly understand why you said no to some of the things that I wanted to do. Do y'all not know the laws and principles of God is there to protect us, not to harm us? See, the enemy deceived Eve. Had Eve believed that God was holding out on her? No, God was trying to protect Eve. Because God knows I have laws and I have principles. And if you violate those laws and principles as an act of your will, you suffer the consequences. But the enemy wants people to believe now the laws and principles of God is there to keep you from enjoying life. You, God, as I told my grandson today, God knows what's best for you. A good father and mother, ones that love God, ones that done pattern their life, and letting the Holy Spirit lead them based upon what is written, it can show you why they require what they require from you. They ain't trying to hurt you. They, if anything, they're trying to keep you from being harmed. When I stop at that red light, I see the red light, I see caution, I see green. That light is there to protect me. But woe unto me if I violate it. It's possible I can get killed or be hurt. It's just like with electricity. Electricity is not given to hurt us, but it's to protect us, to help us. But if I take a screwdriver and stick it in there, if I don't die, most likely I will be electrocuted. It's because I misused it. And y'all, it's the same way. These laws and principles have, but what I'm really talking about today, we going to stand before the judgment seat, okay? Even our thing did in secret. Let's go to Mark 4:22. Oh, yeah, I want you to see this. Mark 4:22. Okay. Yeah, Jesus talking again. Mark 4:22. It said, for there's nothing hidden which shall not be manifest, neither will anything kept secret, but that it shall come abroad. If any man have ear, let him hear. Come on. See, don't let the enemy make you think, don't nobody. Nobody else might not see what you're doing, but God see. Come on, somebody. And I'm telling you, believer, we're going to have to give an account of the degree of our faithfulness, our unfaithfulness, that we're talking about the talent. And even 1 Corinthians 4:2-5. And of our deeds and action in the light of grace, the opportunity and understanding made available to us, and thereto again. My prayer, God help me. Help me to be able to rest. Y'all, I missed many opportunities. I didn't even know there was opportunity. And I had to repent for that. God presents opportunity at opportunity time. But at the same time, when God presents opportunity at opportunity time, the enemy will try to get in there to try to detract us. As I stated, I believe we're living in the last of the last days. And the enemy that went to extreme measure to try to detract us. There's so many things. I don't know about y'all. So many things is pulling and trying to get my attention. They're trying to get me not to focus on God. I have to learn I can't focus on what the evil that been done to me. If I focus on that too much, then I won't do what the scripture says. You overcome evil with good. You forgive. You pray for them that fight for you. Come on, somebody. You bless them. Come on. And see, if we what we focus on the most, that's what we're going to do. That's why Joshua said meditate. God told Joshua, you meditate in the word day and night. Now, sometimes some messages might seem like they're repetitious. But I found out just because you hear it one time, that don't mean you got it. But I'm saying to the old as well as the young, you that done lost the fear of God, ask God to give you a spirit, that spirit again, that you would fear the Lord. Let the Lord know, God, forgive me. I lost it. Somewhere down the road, God, I stopped fearing you. Somewhere down the road, I stopped making you a priority, God. Forgive me, Father. You know, even in this time, as I stated in the beginning, in this time, the first year, a lot of people consecrate themselves. I pray that one of the things that you will repent it, you repent it before the Lord. You may even say, Lord, some things I know you told me to do in 23, I didn't do it because of blase, blase. The Lord, forgive me. I don't want to make the same mistakes in 24 that I made in 23. I hear a lot of people, God is going to do this and God is going to do that. I'm not disputing none of that, but I'm saying this here. Whatever you do, make sure you do it as unto the Lord. Because I'm telling you, we going to give an account. Do you hear me? The believer bad deeds, when repentant of forgiven the wreck to eternal punishment, but they are still taking account when they being judged for recompense. He that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong what he done did. Colossians 3:25. Ecclesiastes 12:14. 1 Corinthians 3:15. 2 Corinthians 5:10. The believer good deeds and love are remembered by God in reward. See, God said Hebrews 6:10, I remember your labor love. People might not remember the good that you do, but God will reward you for your labor love. God, remember what you're doing. You know, sometimes I look at it and I say, God, I done did this. I done did this. I've been faithful in this. And Lord, look like I don't see no reward. Or better yet, God don't look like it's the end of the tunnel. But let me tell you something. Stay faithful, my brother and sister. And I tell you, if you don't know the Lord, if you don't know the Lord today in the free party, you need to invite Jesus in. You can't do what God wants you to do on this earth. You can't live the life God requires from you if you're not saved because you have a sin nature. But if you let Jesus, listen, he ain't override your will. He's over with whosoever would let it come to the Lord. And you, as a born-again believer, if you don't backslide, because the Bible said in the last day, many are going to depart from the faith, and they're going to be seduced by the devil, doctrine teaching of the devil. The devil telling people, you ain't got to forgive. You ain't got to do this, and you ain't got to do. Baby, if the Bible said do it, you got to do it, because you're going to give an account. But if you don't backslid, if you don't lost that revelation fear of the Lord, I want to pray with you. We're going to believe God that God will restore that fear, that you had that fear for the Lord, that restrainer of be there, that you will depart from evil, knowing I got to stand before the judge. I'm going to be judged for the right that I did. Father, and listen, if you don't know Jesus, ask him, I hear your word this evening. And Father, I don't know you. I don't know Jesus. It's my Savior, but Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and forgive me for my sin. Forgive me of my sin. Come in my heart. I want to do right, Father, and I repent. Jesus, forgive me. Come in my heart. I believe you, the Son of God. I believe you rose the third day. I believe you died for my sin. I need a Savior, and I receive you now, Jesus, my Savior and Lord. And now I ask that the Holy Spirit will fill this temple with evidence of speaking in tongues. And if you want that done lost your fear of God, ask the Lord to forgive you. Lord, forgive me. I don't lost the fear of you. I don't fear you no more, God. I don't have no restraint no more. I just live and do what I want to do. Instead of me continuing to deny myself, God, I don't do that anymore. Lord, forgive me. I want to make it right. I want to be our relationship to be restored. I don't grieve you, Father. Forgive me. Listen, the Bible says when we confess our sin, the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I believe that's what he done did for you. We're going to stop right there. We're going to continue Monday, if it's the Lord will. We're going to continue to talk about the fear of the Lord as much as the Lord lead me. Again, this was Apostle Willie Ann Miller. I trust and pray that the word was a blessing to you. And now, you that received Jesus, you saved. You that had lost your fear of God, that God restored that to you. Again, it was Apostle Willie Ann Miller. Enjoy the rest of your evening.